Welcome to You Are The Media Bite Size. One idea each week on the loyal audience you build on and offline. Here's Mark Masters.
Hello there. Joining me now. Now, I'm excited about this because joining me now for the next 20 minutes is to have a chat for two people where this is their first time into the You Are The Media live space. Let's give a big hello to Angela Lyons and Daniel Plume. Hello, Angela.
Hi. Hi, Mark. Hi, Daniel.
And hi, Daniel.
Hello. Hi, Angela. Hi, Mark. Thanks for having us on.
Let's jump into this. So before we get going, let's find a way to introduce one another and what we do and how we create this sense of familiarity to the people that you meet, and this is what they do. Angela, introduce your side and what you do.
I love the excitement, Mark.
It keeps on going. Limming keeps going, Angela.
All right. I'm Angela. Most people call me Ange, and I have a graphic design business called Lyons Creative. I'm based in East London, and I work with various industries, from corporates to charities to freelancers, and I create graphics for them, pretty much anything and everything, branding, more so magazines, brochures, anything they need graphic design wise, I'll come up with a solution for them.
And love my font, love for is fun.
Do you subscribe, Mark? Oh my god, I'm terrible. I don't even look at my subscriber list. But yes, I have my Font Love Friday email that goes out on the last Friday of the month. It's called Font Love Friday and Other Designery Things, and it covers fonts, design, and freelancing, and a little teeny bit about me woven in. But nothing to. Oh yeah, no, you actually featured it, didn't you, on your shout out? So thank you for that on your LinkedIn newsletter. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And I'm now going to call you Ange from now on. Yeah,
That's cool.
Just to let you know, if you're to the people at home, this is the first time Ange, Daniel, and myself have spoken. So listen, let's Daniel introduce what he does.
I will try and match your energy levels, Mark, but I can't promise. I'm Dan. So I'm a content strategist, content creator, copywriter. Been doing it for about 15 months. I got made redundant at the end of 2022, like a lot of people have been, and kind of took the plunge and dove headfirst into doing this by myself. Work with mostly tech brands, but a lot of agencies as well as a kind of content extension. I'm really looking forward to coming down to You Are The Media, and Mel Barfield has a lot to answer for on that front.
And you can validate that as well, can't you, Ange?
I definitely can. She was go on, come. You know you're gonna get FOMO. Go on, come. And I was like, okay, Mel, okay. And then I eventually signed up. I think it was actually the night before, or a few hours before, it went into the different price tiers. So I was like, okay, I'll go.
So here we go. Mel is getting bigged up again. So fair play to the work of Mel Barfield. And I hasten to add, it's also her birthday when she comes down. So it's my responsibility to get that carrot cake out and the happy birthday. So Mel's taking the lion's share of exposure, I must admit, from all this. By the way,
she's playing the game.
Dan, so Angela become Ange, do you now become Dan?
Yes, let's do that.
Right. So your world before then with, has it always been that kind of content space? I know you said by being made redundant, was that your world prior to it? But was that also with a tech brand? How was that world?
Yeah, so I sort of fell into, I thought I was going to be a journalist. That's what I thought I was going to be. And then I did a spot of broadcast journalism in radio, and then I did some pure journalism for like a local newspaper. But it was just kind of like regurgitating press releases into somewhat or apparently newsworthy stories, but they were pretty terrible. And then I sort of migrated into the corporate world. And I've been doing it for close to 15 years. So pretty much like all of that time was tech based, which I never thought I would be. And contact centers for a long time, but a lot longer than I care to admit, actually. And I sort of found myself, as with anything, when you dive into stuff and you start to uncover like the nuances of what makes things exciting or interesting, I sort of found myself quite enjoying it. And then I moved to agency world and did 3 years as a head of content for an agency, and then back to a kind of digital consultancy, sort of client side, but sort of building an agency in house. And then I got made redundant from there. And then I thought I would go straight back into work. That was what I thought, like straight back to being an employee as opposed to, you know, being my own business. But I am very, very grateful that I have persisted with this and given this like 100%, because I just find it's so much more liberating, and being in control of your own destiny. It's always been tech based.
And on your side, Andy, obviously you flying the flag for Freelancer magazine and the good work from your side, what Dan said there about, yeah, it is liberating and I acknowledge it's hard. How do you echo that with someone that is flying that flag for the freelancer space?
Yeah, it's hard because you've got to do so many things. You've got the hats of, as they say, many people. You've got to do HR, you've got to do accounting, you've got to do your marketing, you've got to do the work itself. You've got to remember so many things, and I hate admin, and that's the worst part of my I suppose my job's day to day, but I try and leave it to one day and do that. But yeah, I've been freelancing for the last 12 years come this April, and like Dan said, it is freaking hard, but you just got to keep at it. And the thing is, there's a lot of what comes out of Freelancer magazine is the community out of it. You go, now there are so many communities out there that are there for support, because that's another thing in mental health, because you are by yourself. I mean, you can see I'm in my house, in my home office. It's great going to co-working spaces, but they're kind of not your space because I have to have a big monitor. I can't just like rock up with my laptop all the time. I'll do that if I've got like an admin day or something like that, but you can't really work like that. So having, I suppose for me, it keeps me going, are my freelancer powers at the moment, I suppose. You. And that's where, again, Mel, actually, we've said her name enough now.
Yeah, banned.
She's getting a scrapbook at the end of this when we finish. By the way, what was your prior to that? So you're saying 12 years where you're at the front of your own ship. Where were you prior to that?
So I was at a publishing company, B2B publishing company, and I was there for about 11 years. And then I actually got headhunted to go to a software company, and I went there, and it was great. Well, it was great. The hours were great and I could work from home. And that was before people work from home. And I lasted about 9 months. I hated it because I was working on one client, and I'd always been involved with other clients. And that's what I love doing now, actually, is working with different people, not just one product. And that was a full-time role. And then I just thought, you know what, I had my second child by then. She was coming up to one.
I thought, here's the big thing. Here's a big thing. Is that, okay, downside and side. Responsible for the work that you are doing, the people that you work with, and just digging deep and fighting hard and building your own space. So, which is why I appreciate, you know, put even more so of putting that time to come to an event for the first time. Can I ask, with no reference to Mel?
We've already failed.
I know. We're not doing ourselves a good service here. For yourselves, what was that decision to say, look, I'm gonna leave the family, I'm gonna leave home, and I'm gonna get on the train and travel down to Poole? Where was that decision? Obviously, and stepping into the place that you are unfamiliar with. Where was that trigger that thought, yeah, I'm gonna do that? Dan?
So despite the fact of the person that we're not allowed to mention badgering me in my LinkedIn DMs, I realized last year, because this is only sort of like my second year of doing business, like I was very much home-based, just slogging away to find work, build a business, as like, rather than just some guy in his bedroom trying to produce work. So I'd sort of made a decision this year that I would get out more, go and meet people, build a community around what I was doing, because it did get quite lonely last year. I very much felt head down in the trenches, like doing everything that I could to get a business up off the ground. So this year it was all about establishing myself like in a broader community, making like the sort of colleagues and co-workers that you want to create. And I met Mel earlier this year, or maybe towards the end of last year, and we hit it off. And then she introduced me to you, Angie. So I've spoken to you before as well, and we hit it off. And then, yeah, just the idea of coming down and meeting them both face to face, but then in a community that they, particularly Mel, spoke really highly of, was a no-brainer really from a travel perspective. So it kind of was a sort of perfect storm of things coming together and sort of driving action, I guess.
And what about your side, Ange? What was the trigger for you that, apart from a...
name actually should not be mentioned.
And Mel.
Do you know what I really loved it when you sent me that personal video, Mark, the email. I really loved that. And I just thought, this is cool. Someone who cares, really cares about an event, not just going to take my money and just like, you know, just take my money and not, you know, do anything else. Just say, yeah, here's your ticket and turn up. So it shows that you care about the event. And it was Mel. And also I'd laid it out in the magazine sometime last year. So we had a feature of the UR Media Day. Yeah. And I saw the pictures and I thought, I know that person, like Ella Roll. And I thought, oh, what's going on here? I didn't know much about what was it. And I do love going to events and I do love networking. I suppose not networking, like icky networking, but I like meeting people, should I say, and I like chatting. So I was gonna say a bit like Dan, just wanted to come out of the home office and just go meet people. And I think, funny enough, that week is one of my busiest weeks of work. There's so many things going on, and I made a decision. There was one going to Adobe Max or coming down to you, and I chose you.
Oh, bless so, you. Yeah. I just want to pick up on a question here. It was what Dan alluded to, and it's relevant for all of us, is that, you know, when you are, you know, there's work on, and you're highlighting it, Ange, by saying, God, it's my calendar, my schedule is busy as we start to hit spring. When we're doing our own work as solopreneurs, is it easier just to be consumed by the work around us? Similar to what you said there, Dan, a few minutes ago, that sometimes it can be lonely, that we're just digging deep and we're doing our work and we'll have our little moments on LinkedIn and everything else. But for the most part, it can be quite difficult because we're so focused on our work that sometimes it's not about looking at the world around us and where we can join in. I just want to get your perspective on that, of what you highlighted there. I'll start with Dan, that it's far easier just to say I'll do the work, because it is a big ask to join in, whether it is a meetup locally, whether it is another networking event. So it's, do you think that's a big challenge in a freelancer space or solopreneur space to...
It is. There's a few aspects to that as well, because it's the time out of the business to go and do something else. But for fear of saying the wrong sort of thing here, but it's also like that looking at the ROI of it. Like, what am I going to get from getting away from the desk? Because if it is going to have knock on effects on the business or what have you, then you do have to have that conversation. Like, Andrew, you've obviously, you know, like you said, it's going to be your busiest time, but you've obviously made that decision that there is still going to be a lot of value to go to the event. And I have the same view of coming to this. Like, it was a no-brainer for me. But those are conversations that you have to have. And then I think from a kind of just getting locked in and doing what you need to do, that, like, particularly in my case, and I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, like, for me, like, my partner went on maternity as I got made redundant, and we were staring into, you know, just having our second child, looking into this sort of big financial black hole that was about to swallow us whole. And so I think that was a sort of major reason why I kind of did get locked into these four walls and my monitor and sort of doing the work and slaving away. I think it's a big issue that people don't actually not necessarily kind of talk about enough, or maybe they do and I'm not part of that conversation, but kind of getting swallowed by client demands and client needs and not taking care of yourself in that process, and finding you sort of get to a point where you're like, actually I can't do this anymore, like I can't actually write, particularly in my case, like finding new words to say similar things for slightly different people like becomes a real struggle. And I had moments of that at the end of last year. So that was what made me sort of make the conscious decision to get out more and meet people and be more proactive in that sense from a mental health perspective, and just sort of building a sort of network and sharing in a world that like a lot of my friends are in employment and they don't have that same, they don't understand my predicament at all. Like they don't have, because they're always in a, you know, they have their Slack channel with all of their business employees and they have their social events at work and all the rest of it.
Also, sorry to cut you down, but also they have the wage at the end of the month where they know they can budget that. Whereas us, we're, you know, the job is finished, but how do we know, are we going to get paid within our terms and conditions? Or are we going to wait for another few more weeks, you know? So it's one of those ones where that is also that you have to think about, and also budgeting, I suppose, is a good one too. But
Carrie, what a question, because
I was just going to say for the event, because I know there are some, again, like me and Dan are going to be newbies there, but just shouting out to other newbies going, just it is taking time out, of course, and but I reckon you're going to get, they'll get value out of it. And I know that, and also it's, you've been so encouraging and welcoming to other people with this podcast, the Zoom. I missed the Zoom. Sorry, I didn't get the, I got the email, but I missed it. all the, you know, the emails that go out too, it's just, I do think people are going to feel welcome, definitely. And
and that's a big one, because listen, I'm learning all the time. So exactly as you said, by the way, you being in London, are they like 10 a penny, like going to an event? There's like, I can imagine something on every half an hour. 20 minutes away from you, or am I just living
every I could I mean, this weekend I did the whole I'm gonna do that, and then I got, especially on Mother's Day, which wasn't great, I got proper burnout because I really want to go out and do this and do that. And yeah, there are events around here, but yeah, there's only so much you can go to all the time, and also ones that I'm interested in, what should I say.
Here's the thing here is that where there is that commitment, like from your side, to say, look, I'm going to go, because that is a huge step to say, because who's to say, and this is the way that I look at all, is that I don't want anyone just to be a face in a crowd. Do you know what I mean? Imagine if you turn up, and that's my thing that I kind of think is bonkers. Imagine if, you know, you're getting a train from Waterloo, you're coming down to Poole. Imagine if you just turned up and there's just a handful of people, or even worse, it's just like, I'm just kind of completely ignored. And it's how you create that environment. And listen, I'm learning. I'm trying to figure it out as well. How you can create that supportive environment. So when you do jump on that train, or when you do get off at Poole, it's like, yeah, this already feels familiar. And it's really, really tough. But for yourself coming down, Dan, and for you, Andrew, as well, is that when, you know, are you train or driving, Dan? What are you doing?
Train.
Dan?
Most probably drive. Although I could be persuaded. I get the train.
The train is really, there's some good deals out at the moment.
Yeah, I get the train.
I think mine was like 23 quid or something.
You're getting a bargain all the way. So when you're on, coming out of the train station, it's a few minutes walk to the theatre. And obviously we've got the co-working space as well at Foundry. But it's making sure that when you do arrive, it's like, yeah, I'm ready. Rather than bombarding you with so much going on in a short space of time. If there is this kind of reassurement arm around your shoulder to say, look, looking forward to seeing you, Dan, looking forward to seeing you, Ange, we've kind of laid everything out ready. So it is our responsibility to everybody down here as a part of it to welcome you both with open arms. Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to the swim.
Oh, you joining? What?
Yeah, why not?
Right, let me share this. Right, this is the most important bit. So, Dan, we started this July 2021, and we just went in to see every Friday. It's this whole thing around community, this thing of accountability and pushing each other and doing things we wouldn't normally do. But I love the fact that you're up there in Northeast London, Ange, and jumping in the sea is something that isn't there as part on your radar every week. And I feel snobbish because I've got a beacher at Sandbanks. Might even make the cup of tea when you come down, everybody. And so when we go in that sea, it's awful. But it's
I think I actually emailed you too, Mark, and I said, am I allowed to bring a wetsuit? You were like, no, nah, no one uses that.
Imagine it's like that. It's like, nah, you'd be fine. And next minute, there's like, you're like, got hot water bottles and everything else, because it's like, I wasn't expecting this. This was awful, man. I'm not leaving the my little Google review. That isn't what I was anticipating. Right. Let's round up. So I want to say, listen, Dan, and I appreciate that as well, because this interesting that you highlighted then is like, you know, we have our families and the time that we're going to be away from the partner and the children and everything else, and the decisions that we make to step aside from work, because that work is always going to be there to do. So we have to make sure that it is a precious part of your spring activity. We started as strangers. We're ending as friends, eh?
Isn't that lovely?
Excellent. Right. Beautiful.
Listen, Dan, thanks for your time. And I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
Brilliant.